This is Pastor Bill bringing you news and focus entitled, You Can Pray, Just Not to Jesus, here on August the 27th. And this is posted on GOPUSA.com by Bobby Eberly on June 21st, 2012. There's a crackdown going on in one North Carolina police department. Have patrols been stepped up? No. Are gangs being disbanded? No. Are the cops getting tough on crime? Maybe. However, what is changing is that volunteer chaplains in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department will no longer be able to invoke the name of Jesus when they pray, and it has some people up in arms. As reported by the WSOC-TV9, chaplains have been told that they cannot invoke the name of Jesus in prayers at public events. When I heard this, I was sad, said Pastor Terry Sarton, who has been a chaplain with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department for 7 years. Sarton said he learned of the policy when he got a phone call before a recent promotion ceremony saying he could not use Jesus' name in his invocation. I asked if I could withdraw because Jesus is the only thing I have to bless people with, Sarton said. Of course, one person interviewed for this news story, an ACLU member named Jim Gronquist, said the policy was long overdue. It's improper to mix up religion with the function of state agents, and as long as they're state agents, they should not be able to do that, Gronquist said. Okay, let me insert here. Well, then why have an invocation? Because certainly a prayer is a religious thing, and of course ACLU would love to get rid of the prayer altogether. No question about it. And so, going outside of the original intent of the Founding Fathers. Remember, that's really what matters. When we look at the Constitution, we talk about what constitutionality is. It's not a static, rock, unliving, inanimate document. It was crafted by people with intentions and backgrounds and frames of reference from which to draw. So understand that we're not dealing with atheistic Founding Fathers that were hoping to keep God out of government. No, no. They were trying to keep government out of the church, especially since they came from England, where the Church of England was just infiltrated with government control. Not even infiltrated is not even the right word. Pervaded, ruled, dominated by government control. And so these officers, back to the article, should not be able to pray to Jesus. Give me a break. This is America, right? Todd Starnes with Fox News Radio interviewed Sarton, who said he has a very real concern about where we're heading as a nation. He said, I serve a God who loves people unconditionally, who died for their sins on the cross, who wants to reconcile himself to them and love them where they are at, and now I'm told I can't bless people as a result of that. The police department said he could still pray, just not to Jesus. So to whom was the Christian minister supposed to pray? That was my question, Sarton said. If I'm going to pray, what should I pray? Sarton said he feels Christians are being targeted, and I'd have to agree. We see more and more incidents all the time where the only objectionable material or actions are those of Christians. Well, Christian, what do you say about that? Well, number one, we could take last day syndrome and say, well, it's supposed to happen this way, and we should probably just get ready for the rapture and just not worry about it. Or you could realize that many times Christians have been persecuted all through church history, and that it's not getting much worse now than it ever has been. Maybe you should crack open a history book and not so much the History Channel and find out that Christians have always been picked on a little bit. And so don't feel like we're wearing some sort of red badge of courage simply because we're living in the last days. It might surprise you to realize that Peter said we were in the last days in Acts chapter 2. It might surprise you to read Hebrews chapter 1 and see that the last days had been something that with which the living person in that day was already acquainted. So, shuck off the last day syndrome. Pray, vote, preach, and demand your right as a Christian with a First Amendment. What bothers me so much is that everyone is concerned about First Amendment rights to not infringe or not to officially condone, or I should say establish, a religion or prohibit the exercise thereof. And yet, we don't want to let the chaplain have such a freedom. I wonder if this was a Muslim chaplain. I wonder if he would pray to Allah. Even though, mind you, Allah is an Arabic word. It's an Arabic word. I wonder if he would say God or Allah. Since it's obvious that his term Allah is religiously sectarian in its overtone, I suppose that probably I would doubt that a Muslim would, as a chaplain, not be allowed to say Allah. Yet a Christian cannot say anything distinctive to his religion. Really, what I can see is if we don't see something happen soon in regards to restoring the First Amendment right of chaplains, both in Senate, police departments, United States Armed Services, we're going to just see the disappearance of prayers altogether. And I'm not sure that that's too far off. I'm not hoping for that. I don't have martyr syndrome or last day syndrome. I believe God is not done with America yet. I think God can still raise dead bones and make them alive again by his Spirit. But I think that we need to also be very much demanding that if you're going to have the luxury of prayer, then you get the religion of the prayer. And so, on some military installations, we see these invocations and benedictions disappearing. I remember personally when I was Staff Sergeant Bill Sturm on Fort Bragg, and I was a part of an engineer battalion, the only one of its kind in the Army. And so we had a company at Fort Bragg, a company at Fort Belleville, Virginia, and a company in Hawaii. And I remember we didn't have a chaplain because we were separate companies parsed out, and now the battalion actually does have a chaplain at its battalion office in Fort Belvoir. But so whenever we had ceremonies, we either had to borrow a chaplain from Fort Bragg, one of the active engineer units, or we'd have to, which was completely unrelated to our unit, or we'd have to have someone from among the masses come and do the honors. Well, everyone knew that I was considering chaplaincy in the Army, and so usually I was picked to do the religious stuff, to include the invocations and benedictions at changes of responsibility, changes of command, and even all ranks balls. Well, one time, my executive officer came to me and said, "Sergeant Sturm, I just want to make sure that your prayer has been approved." I said, "Oh, ma'am, it's been approved." She said, "Well, by who?" I said, "By the one to whom I'm praying." Friends, we have nothing to back down from. The First Amendment right, even that of the person praying, is a most sacred thing in the living document of the Constitution of the United States of America. We must stand up for the right of the person praying, and we must be willing to say that the Founding Fathers had no intention of erasing God out of the affairs of government at any level. And so I leave this thought with you. Let your vote do the talking in November. This is Pastor Bill. Post your comments directly on here and remember what the scripture says in John chapter 16. "These things I've spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time comes that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. Behold, I tell you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come to you, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so, dear friend, the reason they hate Jesus is because it is God testifying through the Holy Spirit, through your words about Jesus, that this world is full of sin, they are full of death, and they are awaiting judgment. And it's all because they have rejected the Christ of God. Do not be intimidated. Stand strong, knowing that when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against them. It says in the book of Isaiah, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper," Isaiah 14. We are not afraid. We trust in the Lord our God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Psalm 46, verse 7. And so be at peace and be at rest, knowing that your dad holds the world in his hand. Good day.